Leonardo da Vinci stated, "Mechanical engineering is the paradise of mathematical science, since the former allows one to reap the fruit of the latter." Exercising his art in the Age of Enlightenment, Pierre Jacques-Édron, a master watchmaker and creative craftsman from La Chaux-de-Fonds, astonished and beguiled the courts of Europe and Asia. Thanks to his talent, knowledge, and tenacity, he devised and built extremely sophisticated clocks and watches, enhanced by music and animated figurines called automatons. Assisted by his son Henri-Louis, an artist, musician, and brilliant mechanical engineer, as well as Le Chaux, who became their associate, Jacques-Édron produced automatons heralding a great victory, the triumph of the human mind over the forces of matter. Pioneers in algorithmic calculations, their creations gave shape to a dream, that of man flying high above the plains, diving to the ocean depths, or bursting through space. Jacques-Édron, father and son, invented the first songbirds, tiny objets d'art covered in real feathers. The ingenuity of these automaton constructors was considered one of the finest manifestations of human genius, that of brilliant individuals capable of opening up whole new horizons. During the second half of the 18th century, the automaton reached a peak of ingenuity in terms of its mechanisms, and its capacity to create natural movements and sounds was widely appreciated among a public of connoisseurs. To fit a songbird in a watch, Pierre Jacques-Édron invented a whistle with sliding pistons, enabling one to modulate the song of the bird with a single flute, as in this rare piece presented in London in the 1780s. Jacques-Édron innovated in the field of automatic winding, and together with Breguet and Perlet, began creating perpetual watches known as montres à secousse. While its owner walks, the oscillations of the inertia block gradually wind the spring thanks to a click system. On the advice of the governor of Neuchâtel, Lord Keith, Pierre Jacques-Édron decided to travel to Spain to present his clocks. On April 4th, 1758, Jacques-Édron left La Chaux-de-Fonds for Madrid, a journey that would take 49 days. This risky and sometimes dangerous adventure culminated in a result worthy of the undertaking. After 3 months spent awaiting an audience, he met King Ferdinand VI, and presented his works, of a type similar to this rare amphora-shaped clock with an in-passing striking mechanism. Jacques-Édron was indeed the first to introduce the shaped movement. A short while later, the king rewarded Jacques-Édron with 2,000 gold pistoles, a sum which, upon his return to the Neuchâtel Mountains, gave him the means to pursue his art to even higher peaks of achievement. From 1773 onwards, more innovative and trend-setting than ever, the Jacques-Édron presented increasingly sophisticated automatons, culminating in the creation of the three androids, the writer, the draftsman, and the musician. These masterpieces drew connoisseurs from around the world to La Chaux-de-Fonds, all wishing to meet the authors of these unprecedented marvels. The automatons left La Chaux-de-Fonds for Paris late in 1774. They were to be presented to King Louis XVI and Queen Marie Antoinette in 1775, and subsequently in the major European courts. The most complicated of the three automatons, the writer, uses a goose feather to form the downstrokes and upstrokes characteristic of the fine handwriting of a Neuchâtel lawyer. Jacques Hédreau used ingenious and consistently elegant constructions within an extremely limited volume. The word disc contains the letters of the sentence to be written and controls the cam cylinder. Three cams per letter, two to draw the letter and one to press with varying degrees of strength on the quill and execute the downstrokes and upstrokes. Two horological movements drive the letter disc and the cam cylinder. Tremendous precision is required to guide the movements of the heavy cylinder. Some of the 6,000 parts making up the writer, such as its mechanical memories, already provide a foretaste of the computer. Created by Henri-Louis Jacques Hédreau, the draftsman displays incredible dexterity and great precision in his drawing, devoting surprising attention to details. It is said that during the presentation to Marie Antoinette, her portrait was to be the subject of the drawing. A mistake in adjusting the cams caused the dog to appear instead of the face of the queen, which contributed to the fame and popularity of Jacques Hédreau with the entire court. Drawing on the wealth of his father's experience and on his own technical studies, Henri-Louis simplified and improved the positioning of the mechanisms also driven by two horological movements. The larger cams enabled finer drawing and broader movements. A beautiful and graceful young girl, the musician plays various tunes on the harmonium with unfailing regularity and virtuosity, while breathing and turning her head and eyes as if to read the musical score. It is indeed the hands of the musician which play by pressing on the 24 keys on the keyboard. The mechanism that controls the finger play consists of two pin barrels which raise levers cleverly linked to the fingers. Several sets of spikes or pins on the cylinders make it possible to play several tunes. During their heyday, automatons did not merely imitate life. At the risk of inciting the wrath of the Inquisition against their authors, and thanks to the intelligence of their cam, chain, and gear train systems, they inspired ideas liable to enhance human work by relieving people of the monotony and difficulty of... The Jacques Hédreau opened their London workshop in 1774 to facilitate selling their timekeepers in Asia, including this English-style pocket watch intended for the Chinese market, on which the shepherdess at the fountain reveals a gilt brass movement with cylindrical pillars, fusée and chain, cylinder escapement, and engine-turned English balance cock. This chiming watch plays three tunes on five bells using five hammers controlled by a tiny cam system. To ensure that their timepieces, mechanical music, and automatons were consistently fashionable, the Jacques Hédreau worked with highly talented craftsmen, clockmakers, bell ringers, mechanical engineers, enamelers, gold and silversmiths, and gem setters. The Jacques Hédreau were forerunners in the application of the revolutionary caliber invented by Lépine to create watches that were far thinner and more elegant. They also adopted the pump winding system. The excellence of the Jacques Hédreau is clearly visible in the decoration of sumptuous watches, a field they even developed further when opening their Geneva workshop. The translucent enamel over an engine-turned base is adorned with tiny gold paillonnet decoration, an operation calling for great dexterity. Every part of the case is embellished. On the pendant and bezel, radiant polychrome enamels and rich pearls vie with each other in an image of beauty and luxury. At times, the translucent enamel is inlaid with a floral split pearl motif around a miniature landscape sculpted in ivory, or it plays with the light and the engine turn decoration by means of the ever-surprising flanquet technique. Between 1760 and 1790, the Jacques Hédreau used neoclassical decorative themes linked to antiquity and pastoral scenes in the form of miniature enamel paintings. The artistic dimension is on a par with the difficulties facing the enameler, who is confronted with many surprises during the successive firing operation. The amorous scenes within a pastoral setting were greatly appreciated, and the art of enameled miniatures was frequently associated with translucent enamels. The theme of love inspired numerous case decorations. Dexterity, patience, and discipline are the rule, since every passage through the furnace represents a truly daunting trial. Encircled by a Pionnet frieze pattern, the monumental flower vase of this perpetual watch is set amid a landscape painted on translucent enamel. And it is to the masters of the Geneva School that they entrusted the decoration of their rich production of songbird mechanisms, snuff boxes, scent flasks, and numerous luxury horological creations, such as this scent flask, housing a movement with carillon chime on four bells and entirely coated with pink flanqué enamel. Or this luxurious snuff box with carillon chiming on five bells, which belonged to the Emperor of China. Or again, this exquisite watch set with pearls and rubies and rimmed with enameled geometric motifs. The development of repeater movements made it possible to replace the hammers by small figurines and thus to animate delightful erotic scenes, which were much sought after by newlyweds in the late 18th century, as well as by Chinese mandarins. Representing full-fledged miniature and often highly complex automatons, the erotic watches produced in Geneva were in great demand in Asia, before being officially forbidden by the church and almost entirely destroyed, hence their current rarity. This regulator with center seconds, calendar, and counter testifies to the early enthusiasm for the self-winding watch. With its center seconds display, this watch with oval case further illustrates the inventiveness of the Jacques Hédon, who were the first to introduce this shape for the Chinese market, and the first in Switzerland to use the Lépine caliber in their movements, shown here entirely engraved with stylized foliage. Entitled La Lettre d'Amour, the enamel-painted medallion is rimmed with a double row of paillons, or spangles, on an imperial blue translucent enamel, itself applied to a guilloché gold base. As one of the first watchmakers to use the Pionnet decorative effect, Jacques Hédon made a signature feature of these tiny gold or silver spangles cut out to enhance enamels. Among the countless accomplishments of Jacques Hédon, this Grande Seconde watch was a nod in the direction of the future, since it heralded the renaissance of the name that had made an indelible imprint on the Age of Enlightenment. Representing the first Grande Seconde of the third millennium, the new model by Jacques Hédon is an homage paid to the Geneva of 1784, where the last of the three manufactures of the Neuchâtel watchmakers was opened, after La Chaux-de-Fonds in 1738 and London in 1774. It was also the first in the history of the city of Geneva. Its ivory or cream Grand Feu enameled dial, meticulously finished by hand, features the same clever association of Roman and Arabic numerals as its illustrious predecessors, along with Lancine blued steel hands and the famous Jacques Hédon maker's mark. Typical details that are also to be found in this slate gray dial edition of the Grande Seconde. An 18-karat white gold case protects a mechanical self-winding double-barrel movement, Jacques Hédon caliber 2663-4, with oscillating weight in 22-karat gold. It is able to accumulate a power reserve of 68 hours. On the Côte de Genève decorative pattern, the secret signature of Pierre Jacques Hédon, a tiny three-leaf clover, symbolizes the guarantee of craftsmanship in harmony with the spirit of a period where quality and beauty went hand in hand. The Grande Date, a new complication model in the Hommage Genève 1784 line dedicated to classic watches, features an oversized date display entirely in harmony with its off-centered hour and minute dial. In its Grand Feu enameled version, graced with an applied hour and minute ring, which is also Grand Feu enameled, the Grande Date is issued in a numerous clausus of 88. In the slate dial version, the large date display and the hour minute counter are adorned with an applied 18-karat white gold ring that is beveled, drawn out with a file, and secured by blued steel screws. The manufacture in London, opened by Pierre Jacques Hédron in 1774, enabled the bold strategist to develop sails towards more remote destinations such as China and the Indies. For this first watch in the Hommage Londres 1774 line, the Jacques Hédron watchmakers have created a model with a lively urban character. In its case, made in steel for the very first time, the hour and minute indication is placed at the center of the dial, which is another major evolution for this numerous Clausus of 88. La Chaux-de-Fonds, which was the birthplace of Pierre Jacques Hédron and from whence the famous automatons set out to tour the world, naturally lends its name to the line of Grandes Complications specialties and to models produced in extremely limited series. Les Lunes by Jacques Hédron features a unique moon phase display, which does not hide behind an aperture, since the symbols appear on the dial at all times, including waxing and waning phases. Only a retrograde hand moves to indicate the moon phase at the center of the guilloché silver dial. The complete calendar of the mechanical self-winding movement also indicates the date, day, and month. In its Grand Feu enameled version, Les Lunes is issued in a numerous clausus of 88. Travel was an integral part of the life of Jacques Hédron, and Les Deux Fuseaux model is intended for people who, like him, have several times in their life. The reference time is displayed on an off-center dial at 12 o'clock, combined with a 24-hour indicator to distinguish between day and night. And then comes local time with the center hour and minute indication combined with a date window at 3 o'clock. Another fine tribute to La Chaux-de-Fonds 1738. For the numerous Clausus edition, the master dial makers and the master enamelers of Jacques Hédron have successfully achieved the delicate and precise integration of an off-centered applied subdial that symbolizes the superimposition of the two times indicated by the Deux Fuseaux watch. Jacques Hédron would have loved Les Douze Villes, having himself set out to conquer the world by presenting his watches, songbirds, and automatons. The jumping hour appears through a window, while the minutes are indicated by the large blued steel Lancine type hand, shown here with an ivory-colored Grand Feu enameled dial. Simply pressing the pushpiece, set